Well, as you take your seat, go with me to Hebrews in the fourth chapter. May I say this to you as a reminder? I said in the beginning when we started to go to Hebrews in the fourth chapter, I said, boy, the fourth chapter is a power-packed chapter. It's just so full of information. We've been here for months. We're about the last verse, but we're still going to take our time on that. And I want you to know something. Look forward to the next chapter. That's chapter number five. Chapter number five is just as brilliant, just as power-packed, maybe not quite as long as number four, but it is amazing, and we're going to have a great time in chapter number five. But before we do, today I'm taking you to a verse that's probably one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, a verse that a lot of people can quote, but very few people understand how to live it. Without an understanding of this verse, you will never attain to what you need to be, never do what you need to do, never say what you need to say, never go where you never need to go. You're never going to be what God's called you to be without really an understanding of the depth of this verse. This is an amazing, absolutely incredible, and even bizarre verse that we have a hard time understanding, hard time relating to. Before I read the verse to you, I'm going to give you the title because it's really kind of a cool title. Acquiring a Spiritual Backbone. Without a backbone, without a spiritual gumption, without, if you will, a tenacity, without, if you will, a boldness to face the future, you will never be what God wants you to be or do what God would have you to do. Everything that you'll ever do that'll bless your life, you're going to have to fight for. And a lot of times we don't realize that. We think Christianity is just a time of love and a time of peace and a time of doing nothing. You know, where Jesus comes along and says, if someone hits you on the right cheek, turn your cheek to him, the next side of your cheek. And we have an idea that we don't have to do anything. Yet we find the Bible is all through war, all through trials, tribulations, pressure, people pushing through problems to make things happen. And that's the war that you and I are in. The destiny that God has for you. The purpose of why you're on this planet. The things that you want to attain and accumulate and conquer and go forth, you're going to have to fight for. And if you don't know how to fight for it, it isn't going to work. The Old Testament is full of warring. God is even described as a God of war. The New Testament is not any different. You'll find that great men of God said you're going to have to fight a good fight of faith. Gives you the weapons of your warfare in the New Testament. Tells you that you shall live by faith. This is a war that you and I are in. And there's a whole enemy out there trying to stop you from the destiny that Jesus Christ paid for on that cross at Calvary. But if you understand the principle just of this one verse, it'll change your life. It'll change your future. It'll change what you do and how you do it. Just this one little verse is an amazing verse. Let me read it to you if I may. Found in Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verse number 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in a time of need. Do you see the words let us right there? The words let us means it's your option. You can do it or not do it. I find that most people don't understand it, so they don't do it. That sometimes God gives us a way of doing things and tells us how to do things, but we don't always do it that way. It's like somebody giving you $1 million or $1 billion and you don't have any idea where it's at, you don't know how to spend it, and you never do spend it. What good is it then? Not any good at all. God comes along and gives us a verse that's power-packed, and he says, here's what I want you to understand. This is how you're going to attain things. This is how you're going to bring yourself into the position that Jesus paid for on that cross by understanding this. So let us, therefore, it's something that he's saying to you, it's your option. You can do it or not do it. If you do it, you're going to get blessed. If you don't do it, you're going to fail. And then he comes, and see the word therefore. The word therefore, you ought to circle it in your Bible. The word therefore is an interesting word. It's there for all the verses that he said before that. That you have a high priest, his name is Jesus Christ, not like any earthly high priest there's ever been. This high priest, Jesus Christ, that we're talking about, was not ordained by man, but was ordained by God himself. Was not just born of man, but he was also born of the Father himself. You will find that he is God, creator of the heavens and the earth, and he's your high priest. He didn't just have, if you will, an atonement in his mind for 1 year. He had an atonement in his mind and his heart for eternity. He didn't just pay the price for you and I with the blood of bulls and goats. No, our high priest, therefore, that's why the verse is there, is different. He paid the price of your freedom with his own personal blood. This is an amazing expression. Now he comes along and he makes this statement. Let us now, therefore, come boldly. That means with some spiritual background to the throne of grace. Notice how he says the throne of grace. He doesn't say the throne of God. He says the throne of grace. There's a reason why he calls it the throne of grace. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. Once again, let me explain it to you again. Grace, God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. You put in the natural, he puts in the super, you've got supernatural. But you're going to have to put the natural in, he puts the super in, now you got the supernatural. Grace is not just unmerited favor where he comes along and you didn't earn it. It's more than that. It's the very ability of God to get the job done. When you've gone as far as you can, God will take you further. And he comes along and he makes this statement, therefore come boldly, not just with a little whining, bawling, squalling attitude, but come boldly to the throne of grace where you can, listen to this, that we may obtain mercy and find grace that, listen to this, grace to help in a time of need. One translation says in the nick of time. I don't know about you, but my God, it always seems to be in the nick of time. When I'm about to fail, when I'm about to give up, even sometimes after I've failed and after I've given up, then he comes through. It's almost like he puts me to the pressure to see how far I'm going to go before he finally answers the questions. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Have you ever, here, let me say it like this. Have you ever broken down, said, that's it, I give up, I quit, then the answer comes? And it's almost like you got to get out of the way in order for his grace to get in and take it as far as what needs to go. And in the nick of time, we must approach the throne of grace. That's what he's talking about. If I can give you an illustration of boldness, if I can give you a definition of boldness today, this is a fun one. Listen closely. Confidence with courage equals boldness. Confidence with courage. I can have courage but have no confidence. I can have confidence and have no courage. But confidence with courage brings me to a place of boldness. I can have confidence and courage in my ability, and it'll only take me so far. But when I have confidence and courage in his ability, I go a whole lot further. Is anybody listening? This is not about my ability. It's not about your ability. It's not about your talent. Not about my talent. It isn't about your gifting. It isn't about my gifting. It isn't about how cool we are, or smart we are, or gifted we are, or how much we have intelligence. It's not about that at all. It's all about whether or not we have a relationship with Jesus. In the relationship with Jesus comes the boldness, the real confidence with courage that takes me to a place of the expression of boldness before the throne of grace that gets me the ability of God to operate on my behalf where I can't do it. He comes in and causes those things to happen that I can't get done. Is anybody listening to me? And so it's an amazing an understanding. May I say this to you? I said it before. I want to emphasize it now. This is all about a relationship in Jesus. My boldness doesn't come, again, by how smart I am or how smart and cool and quick and cute you are. Doesn't come with whether or not you're born into a social system or have economic backgrounds. Doesn't come whether or not you're educated. Doesn't come whether or not you're tall, short, white, black. Doesn't matter. It comes, listen to this, my boldness and your boldness has got to come because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that relationship, you've got to understand, is a relationship in Christ Jesus. As I approach the throne of grace, that's where the high courts of heaven is. That's where the Father God grants that which I need to take place for me. I have got an advocate. His name is Jesus. My attorney goes before that. He now feels who I am according to the verses that we read earlier. He now knows me. me. He now understands me, and he goes before the high courts of heaven. He makes the petitions for me. Therefore, in him, I approach the throne of grace. I don't go to God and say, well, God, I need help. God, I've just broken down. I'm a nobody. I'm a loser. I'm a failure. God already knows that about you. He already knows that about me. May I say that? There is no doubt about it, but I want you to know something. I'm not approaching the throne of grace in who I am. I'm approaching the throne of grace in who he is. And his name is Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. And as I approach in him, now I come up not with the boldness of who I am, which doesn't take me very far at all, but I come now with the boldness of who he is. I am in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I can boldly approach the throne of grace and make my petitions known and expect God the Father to hear me. Without that, my friends, without an understanding of that, you will approach the throne of grace in who you are. Whining, bawling, squalling, saying to God how you're a loser, how you've never had the cards dealt properly to you. You've always been on the short end of the stick. You've never had a break. Your dad was a creep. Your mom was a goof. Your relatives hate your guts. The school teacher tore you apart. The sergeant in the army slapped you around. You never had a break, and your big brother spit on you. But let me tell you something. God already knows all of that. That's not about this. You do not approach the throne of grace in who you are. You approach the throne of grace in who he is. Therefore, I don't come in my own power. I don't come in how cool I am. I come in how great he is, the Son of God. Because I'm in him. Check it out for yourself. You're right there in Hebrews anyway. Go with me, if you will, into Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 19. Is anybody listening this morning? Turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse number 19. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my boldness has got to come, my spiritual backbone to win the battle, to draw from God the things that I need. That spiritual awakening on the inside of me has got to come because of a relationship that I have with Jesus Christ. Listen to what it says, having boldness to enter into the holiest. That's where God the Father is. Listen to this, by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is an amazing expression. Not by my who I am, not by who you are, but by who he is. Listen to what the word of God has to say. Turn me to Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse number 12. In Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, speaking of Jesus, in whom, the Bible says, we have boldness and access, listen to this, with confidence through faith. How? In him. I make my petitions not based on who I am and how great I am, what I can do, how many verses I know, whether I went to church or didn't go to church. I make my boldness, confidence to God because of who Christ Jesus is. And I'm where? In him. Notice it. In whom? In him. In whom? In him. In whom? In him. And if you approach the throne of grace some other way, you're not going to get anything open to you. This is not about just winning the heart of God. You already got the heart of God, or you wouldn't have sent his son Jesus. But God, I'm in need. That's why he sent his son Jesus. He knows you're in need. The answer to the need is the weather fact. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you are now in Christ. Jesus gives you access to the Holy of Holies through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that gives you the boldness to boldly approach the throne of grace and obtain mercy. Wow. I like what it says in 1 John, the 4th chapter. Go there with me in your Bible. Circle this. It's kind of cool. 1 John, little John, 4th chapter, verse number 17 says it like this. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. You know why you and I have boldness in the day of judgment? Not because you're a tither. Not because you went to church. All of that you need to do. Don't misunderstand me. You have boldness in the day, not because you lived and was a nice guy and the police didn't chase you around. You fit into the social system. You have boldness in the day of judgment. Let me tell you how. Because you're in Christ Jesus. Because as he is, so are we in this world. What is he? Man, he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the only begotten Son of God himself. His blood washed us clean. He's the one that walked on water, created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that holds the moon at its right distance and takes care of the sun so it doesn't burn us up. So he's the one who puts it all together. He speaks and stars come out. He's God. And because of him, and as he is, so are we. We're washed by the blood. Why are we like him? Because we're in him. Does that make us perfect? We are spiritually, not physically. We're still working that part out. We still mess up, screw up, but thank God for the blood. It washes that away, even that. As long as we keep on going with God, somebody ought to give me a great big amen. My point there is so important for us. It all comes, this boldness, this spiritual backbone I'm talking about that you need, that I need to make our businesses work, to make life work, to make our marriages work, to make our children work, to make everything that we believe, to witness to our relatives, in order for us to be that person who changes the world that we live in. My goodness sakes, it all comes through a relationship with Jesus. And because of that relationship of Jesus, of being in him, I can now boldly approach the throne of grace. In other words, with a spiritual background, spiritual backbone, because I know where I am in him. That's a good point. Let me tell you what godly boldness does. Spiritual backbone. Do three things this morning. I want to share them with you. Three things that spiritual backbone will do. Our godly boldness. Number one, helps us to do right. We live in a world of wrong. Have you noticed that? Wrong is right, right's wrong. The thinking is totally messed up. I've never seen thinking like this. I'm 67 years old. My next birthday, I'll be 68 years old. I've never seen the thinking that goes on today that people accept. I never thought in a million years anybody would ever even talk about such publicly. Now they accept it as the norm. It's like right is wrong is right. And in order for me to do right, I don't do right according to the social system. I don't even do right according to the moral majority. I don't give a flip what they say. I want to do right according to the Word of God. And in order for me to live according to the Word of God, there's some things that are going to come against me and to try to stop me from being all that God would have me to be, or to cause me to compromise my position of wanting to do right. And in other words, right becomes what the world says instead of right becoming what God says. And when you let the world dictate what's right, you're a mess. And in order to do right, sometimes it's going to cost you something. And unless you're bold, you'll never do what's right. And what's right is what God says. I want to take you the scripture. I want to show it to you for yourself. May I take you there? In Mark, go there with me, if you will. In Mark, the 15th chapter. I want to talk to you about a man by the name of Joseph Arimathea. Now, a lot of people don't know who Joseph Arimathea is. He isn't one of the most popular persons spoke of in the New Testament, but he's an interesting character. Joseph Arimathea was somebody who was very prominent, very wealthy, had a lot of authority, had a lot of recognition, approval, and acceptance of men. He was one who was a leader in his community. He spoke and people followed. People admired who Joseph was. He was a wealthy man who had a wealthy business. And he was prosperous in every area and became a leader in his community. And he put it all on the line for doing what was right. You see, he was going to go to Pontius Pilate. And he felt moved by God to do something. To redeem the body of Jesus and get it ready for a burial. You don't do that after he's been crucified as a heretic. You don't go there and expose yourself as a follower of Jesus and expect your business to continue, expect your authority to continue, expect men to praise you and give you recognition and approval. You're going to have to give up all of the attention you give. Your identity is going to be shot forever. In fact, the proof of that is Peter himself. Right before the crucifixion, how many times do you remember he denies Jesus? He doesn't want to associate with Jesus. Now here comes this prominent man who wants to associate and does it because of something that becomes a person now that he is standing before the people and he is now associated with Jesus Christ, which means he's going to have tremendous loss in his business, tremendous loss in his authority, tremendous loss in his identity, tremendous. But listen, it's not about identity. It's not about who you are. It's not about whether people approve of you or don't approve of you. It's about whether or not you're doing what is right with God. The 15th chapter of Mark says these words, and it's really cool. Verse number 43, Joseph Arimathea, a prominent council member. I should have underlined the words prominent council member. It's saying that for a reason. It's trying to describe to you and I how important the man was. A prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. Coming and taking courage. Coming and taking courage. Coming and taking courage. Went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Boldness, his courage, his confidence makes him and causes him to do what's right. In a world that'll try to get you to compromise, calling it right when it's really wrong because it's contrary to the ways of God. In a world that'll try to defeat you by being sly and getting you off track. When you know to do something right, you end up doing it wrong just to please other people. I'm here to tell you something, a confident boldness that you need to have, this spiritual backbone that he's talking about because of your association with Jesus Christ is something that'll take you to the throne of God and bless your life. Second thing, let's talk about it this morning. We're talking about godly boldness and spiritual backbone, what it'll do. Number one, it'll help you to do right. But I like number two, it'll develop a spiritual platform. It'll develop a spiritual platform. May I say this to you? You will never speak into the lives of anybody. Let me say it again so you hear me. You will never speak into the lives of anybody. I'm going to say it one more time so you get the picture. You will never speak into the lives of anybody until you have a spiritual platform. Where they allow you to speak into life because they want to hear what you have to say. I remember when I first became a Christian, everybody in my family, relatives would go, oh yeah, okay, cool, that's nice, that's good for you, don't bother me with it. Today, after all of these years, when they have a problem, guess who they call? I didn't say they ever do what I say, but they still call me. They're still pretty stupid. What we fail to remember is this. We need a spiritual platform to speak into the lives of our children. We need a spiritual platform to speak into the lives of our husband and our wife. We need a spiritual platform to speak into the lives of people around you, your boss, the people at the coffee shop, the people at the coffee bar. Without that, you're just an unimportant person they're not going to listen to. And you'll talk a lot, but it'll never get anywhere. But with a spiritual platform, the doors are open and things happen. And it comes through being bold. This entire church was built because of the boldness that we found in Christ Jesus to believe God for something beyond that which is norm. The seats you're sitting in, the clean, immaculate children's church, the 3,500 children that come to church here every single week, the thousands of youth that come every single week, the 24,000 adults that come to church here month after month after month. The reason for that is because someone had spiritual boldness to stand up and say, in Christ Jesus, all things are possible to him that believes. Come on, somebody. And you can boldly approach the throne of grace, getting and obtaining the things that you need to have. And may I say this to you, without a spiritual platform, nothing gets done. We just got back from 2 weeks of speaking to a denomination, and the pastors of a denomination. We were the only keynote speakers for that denomination in Australia. That denomination is all over the world, in Europe, even in the United States. We had people from Europe and the United States there, pastors from Australia, and they wanted to find out what in the heck is going on at this church. If we just did nothing and said nothing, never showed up on Sunday, never fought a good fight of faith, never were bold with the devil, never took the authority and told the devil to go to hell. We're not listening to that and listening to the junk that you are putting on us. We're going on in the things of God and believing God for great and mighty marvelous things. Can I tell you something? You will never be successful until you do. That's why we had a spiritual platform. They're not going to invite me down there to speak to them, open their hearts, their lives, and consider changing the strategies of their churches because I'm a nice person, which I am. They're going to do it because of spiritual platform. God's given us a spiritual platform. The spiritual platform came because of boldness. Let me show you that, if I may. Let me take you to the scripture, Acts. Go there with me real quick. In Acts, the fourth chapter, verse number 13. Acts, the fourth chapter. Here we see an illustration of this with Peter and John. Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 13 says this. Now, when they saw the boldness, everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
Nah. Come on, play with me. You need to wake up a little bit. Everybody say boldness.
Boldness.
Much better. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived they were uneducated and untrained men. They saw who they were. These guys didn't fit in. They're uneducated. They're people that didn't work. They're people that didn't get it. They're people that didn't fit and flow with society. They're not the people that we would go to dinner with. They're not the people we would hang out with. But something happened because of the boldness that they saw in them. They were doing something. Listen to what it says. It says they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. I'm telling you something, when you have boldness, people will know you're not just talking out of your hat. You've got something to say from God. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. And you and I need to have every day of our life a spiritual platform to the friends that you have, to the neighbors that you know, to the people that you work with, the people at the coffee counter, the people in the restaurant, the people in the grocery store, the people in the area, a spiritual platform. When you have it, you can speak and they listen. And it comes because you're bold enough to stand up for the things of God. Somebody ought to say amen. Third and last one for today. We're talking about a backbone. We're talking about spiritual boldness, acquiring a spiritual backbone. Listen to this. Is it helps you to speak the word of God. The bottom line, without boldness, you won't speak the word of God. The devil will talk you out of it. What, that's stupid, he'll tell you. That, what do you have to say about that? Who cares whether you speak it out loud or not? But I want you to know something. There's something happens, I don't know what it is, that when you speak the word of God out loud, listen to the old man, listen to grandpa, when you speak the word of God out loud, the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. When you speak it out loud, it changes the world. A creative power of God goes out and starts to change things. I've got to speak the word of God over myself all the time. I'm healed by the stripes. You know, the older you get, the weirder you get. All kinds of things want to grow on your body that never grew there before. It's like creepy. You know what I'm talking about? This is kind of like creepy, you know? You ever see people that are older? They got all kinds of growths all over them. It's like, my goodness, I'm starting to get them. Instead of tolerating them, I started speaking the word of God over them. I said, in the name of Jesus, you creepy thing, get off my body. In the name of Jesus, get off of me and you get out of here now. I break that off you, you foul, ugly thing. In the name of Jesus, you just go to hell. You're not going to hang around me any longer. I'm preaching the gospel in Australia. And I wipe my forehead. I had a little growth on my forehead. I figured it's just old age. I'm wiping my forehead. And as I'm preaching, I wipe my forehead. That growth just popped off in my hand. How gross is that? Totally like the growth. I'm going on. I didn't miss a beat, man. I just going on. I got this growth in my hand. I'm going, oh, thank God. I'm thinking to myself, the word of God works. You foul thing just get. And I'm going like this. Years ago, I started getting arthritis. My knuckles are all swollen up. My back's all tight. I decided to stop putting up with that. My father was a boxer. He used to tell me my hands are all broken up from boxing. It wasn't. They were all full of arthritis. He called it boxing. Wasn't that way at all. I started speaking the word of God over myself. Let me tell you something, arthritis. You're not of God. You get out of my body in the name of Jesus. And take pain with you in the name of... Why? Listen to this. I'm healed by the stripes of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I've got the mind of Christ. Therefore, I don't have any fear. I live by the, not the vanity of man, but the wisdom of God. The Word of God says I'm healed. Let me tell you something. Here's something I have not been able to do in years. And I'm not taking one pill. I don't take any of that Celebrex. I don't take any of that Aleve. I don't take any. My Aleve is the Word of God, and it works. And I haven't been able to make a fist like that in years. Now opening it's another problem. No, I'm not kidding you. I want you to hear me now. What I'm saying, you got to speak the word of God over you. Hey, listen to this about your prosperity. It just doesn't happen. God says these words about you. Why does he say it? So you can speak it over yourself. You got to be bold about that unless you want to be broke all the rest of your life. My Bible says God gives you the power to get wealth. My Bible says that God makes all grace abound toward you, that you should always have all things and have an abundance for every good work. My Bible says God meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I just happen to have a need to be prosperous economically, God, because I choose to feed the poor. I choose to find and pay off churches. I choose to be a prosperous man. And I found this out too. The Word of God says that God gets pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Therefore, God, I'm going to bring great pleasure to you because I'm going to prosper. I will not live in the vanity of man, but I will live in the prosperity of my God. And I speak the Word of God, creating it. How about this? Everything I put my hand to, these hands, I shall what? Prosper. You got to speak the word of God. If you don't have boldness, what you'll do is just let it happen to you. You'll just say, I just hold. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. Oh, I hope I'm not like my mother. Hope I'm not like my father. I want you to know something. God's given you the mind of Christ. Listen to this, a mind of Christ, sharp, tough. Man, I'm pushing 68 years old. I'm starting another business. Glory to God. I'm just starting in life. I'm going to hear me, you mark my words. I'm going to finance the gospel around the world. Here's the way I think about it. If God can give the grace to a Bill Gates and a Warren Buffett, how much more can he do with a man of God? And the devil will just go to hell over it. It's the way it is. You got to start speaking this. Let me prove it to you. That's just kind of exciting, but let me prove it. Acts 4th chapter, verse number 31. I'll just pop it up on the overhead. And when they had prayed, the whole place and the assemblies together was shaken. And when they were filled with the Holy Ghost, they spoke the word of God. They spoke the word of God. What's the last two words? Yell it out at me. He could have just stopped. He spoke the word of God. He didn't just speak the word of God. They spoke it with boldness. Are you following me? Listen to this in Acts, the 19th chapter, verse number 8. It says this, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. 3 months he's in there speaking what? Boldly. In order to speak the word of God, you got to be bold. You got to have spiritual backbone. In other words, you'll lay down to the circumstances that your life will put on you. This is not about the circumstances that life in old age or young age or educated age or uneducated age or money or not money. It's not about money. It's about your heart. And if you come boldly before the throne of grace and make your petitions known to God, let me tell you something. You can obtain the mercy that you need and find in a time of need that God will meet all of your needs. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. Three things today helps you to do right. Boldness will help you to develop that platform. Number three, it helps you to speak God's word. And speaking God's word creates an atmosphere of God's power around your future. You need to speak it out loud. That's what this is all about. You do not need to settle for what this world or what this life will hand you. You can only settle for what God has for you. And it's different than what everybody else is going to get because you're a child of God. Now here's the deal. I'm finished. And you can think I'm as crazy as you want to think. But just check it out. And watch and see whether God doesn't back me. Because I'm in Christ Jesus. Somebody ought to give the Lord a great big praise. Watch and see. Watch and see. Watch and see. This church has just begun. Watch and see. I'm all pumped up. I want you to know something. Where's the next service? I love you guys. I'm having so much fun. You know, if it was BS, I'd tell you. It's not. And I'm an old man that's lived it. Now, you can wait until you're 50 and 60 years old before you finally find out the truth, or you can start implementing some of these truths now and start get blessed when you're 50 and 60 years old. So sit there and think you can't make it is the dumbest thing in the world, because all things are possible to him that believes. That's what God said.